Colossians chapter 2, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he said, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. As for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. We'll stop there and we'll carry through the chapter, but you know, Paul begins by saying he's got a great conflict, a personal burden, a challenge. And it's the same challenge that I hope that every pastor has, and really that every Christian should have, that has a close walk with God. As I look around, I see people who are struggling in their faith, struggling to understand the meaning and the purpose of life, and how that Christianity can change all of that. And Paul, I'm sure, in his walk with God and his closeness with the Lord, wished that he could find the right words, to find just the right thing to say, to communicate, to relate to people, so that they could grasp on to the truths of salvation. To hold on, to finally grasp and clench the meaning of life and the purpose of each of our lives. Because each of us has a specific purpose. God made you on purpose. With purpose. He designed you. It was His idea. And there's a reason you're here. And I wish when I see someone who's struggling to understand the meaning of life or the purpose of the season they're in, the purpose of the struggle they're facing, I wish that I could take the peace that passes understanding that God has given me and give it to them. When it comes to those who are facing death and they don't understand, or even lost people who don't know what it is to have the assurance of salvation and to know, the Bible says you can know that you're born again. I wish I could take that knowledge, that assurance, that promise, that hope, that confidence, and just take it out of me and give it to them so they could have peace. So they could understand what it is to be saved. Paul says, I got a great conflict for you. I wish I could do it. I wish I could give you what I've got, but I can't. I can't save you. I can't share my salvation. Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins, but you must believe. You must pray and ask God's forgiveness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth then confession is made unto salvation. You see, that's what it takes. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Do you know you're going to heaven? Is your name written in the book of life so that you know that no matter what life brings, that one day you're going to step over, that you'll open your eyes with God? Do you know that? Do you have the assurance of that with those you love? Have you shared your faith, or do you find yourself in the same conflict that Paul did? Searching for the words and wishing that there was some way that I could help them understand. Paul had a conflict because, you see, he was dealing with people who were saved. He was dealing with people who had already been baptized. They were part of a church. They had committed themselves to serve God. And yet, somewhere along the way, they got discouraged. How many of you have never been discouraged? You thought I was going to say, have been, didn't you? You see, there's no point asking who has been, because everyone has been. Everyone's been discouraged and disillusioned at some point. To say, what's the reason to go to church? Well, I know today it's because it's Fifth Sunday dinner. Nah, you would have been here anyway. What's the reason to go to church? What's the reason to study my Bible? What's the reason to pray? Is there any answer to my prayer? Sister Shannon just shared, and she said God answered the prayer. That's not the only prayer that God's answered, but it's the one that's just been mentioned. People wonder, why? How can God let this happen? How can God let me go through this? And I wish I could just give you the peace. I wish I could give you the hope. I wish I could share with you. I could just take it out of my heart and put it in your heart so that you could feel the love that I feel from God. So that you could feel the assurance that I feel from God. Paul said that your heart could be comforted. You know, that's where we struggle. We struggle when our people are sad. We struggle when our people are struggling. As shepherds, as pastors, it's our desire that you would walk in the full assurance. Look at what it says there in verse number 2. The full assurance of the mystery of God. I always go back. It's so raw in my memory to that friend of mine as he lay in the hospice house and he's dying. He said, how can God forgive me? I've rejected them for 80 years. I've walked away. I've cussed them and I've mocked them. How can God forgive me for the things I've done? The answer is, He gave His only begotten Son. And there's nothing bigger, nothing greater, and nothing beyond the love He has for His Son. And if your sin is so great, it took so great a Savior. And He died for your sin. To be comforted, to have hope in God together. Look at what He says, together. Verse 2, being knit together. You know, it's God's desire that we would get along. You know that's God's desire? That we would be knit together. That we could be comforted together. That we would comfort each other. That we would love each other. Encourage each other. That's God's will. And by the Word of God, and Paul says, I wish I could give you the love I have for each of you, because if I could give you the love that I have for you and for each other one in this room, you could love each other. That doesn't mean I never get offended. It's hard to offend me. I mean, in order for me to get offended, I have to believe you tried to offend me. Now, there are people who try to offend me. But nobody in this room, as far as I know. But I find that the grace of God allows me not to get offended very easily. But I find it's because I love you, and it's because I believe you love me. And I don't believe you would try to offend me. And I hope you believe the same about me, that I would not try to offend you. Look, if we get on your sin in the Bible and I preach on it, understand it's the Word of God offending you because you've offended God. It's not me offending you because I'm not trying to offend you. How many of you want me to preach on your sin this morning? Aren't you glad I don't have a list up here? I don't believe there's use in that. You know why? Because the truth is, you know it's already sin. I don't have to get up here and jump on your sin and tell you how sinful you are. You already know you're a sinner. You already know how sinful you are. Once we have the full assurance, fully persuaded of absolute salvation, we want to share it with other people. Paul said, I have this conflict. I wish I could give you what I've got. I wish you could have the peace. I wish you could have the comfort. I wish you could have the love, the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. I know it's hard for some people to understand why God would send His only begotten Son. Now look, I've got 4 sons, and I wouldn't trade you for any of them. But I love you. But they're my sons. And to think that God would give His one and only begotten Son and watch Him die on that cross and watch Him be brutalized and crucified, because He looked beyond that day and saw the resurrection, because He looked beyond that event and He saw that we would be born again and we would receive that love that He had for us. The full assurance of the understanding of the mystery. And here's the mystery: how could God trade His Son for me? How could God love me enough that He would give up His only Son for me? It's quite a mystery. As parents, we don't understand. As sons, we don't understand. That's what makes it a mystery. But once we get born again, once we're part of His family, and we begin to look at the lost, we begin to look at sinners, and we begin to look at those who are wandering without purpose and without understanding, and we want to take out our own heart and give it to them so they could feel it, then we understand it, don't we? How God could give His Son in exchange. Verse number 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Y'all ever watch those shows on Discovery and History Channel where they... Oak Island. Y'all ever watch that Curse of Oak Island? They're digging the hole. Did they ever find anything in that hole besides dirt? And they go out there and they try to... They got one that saw something on the satellite in outer space, and now they're trying to find the one from space. And I watched about 5 minutes of it, and they found something, but I don't know if it was worth anything. Everybody looking for treasures. What if I told you there was a treasure today? What if I told you there was a treasure and I have the key to it? Would you want the key? You know what verse 3 says? In Jesus is hid all the treasures. In Jesus is all the wisdom. In Jesus is all the knowledge. So if you want to understand why you're here, you got to give your life to Jesus. If you want to understand what it all means, meaning is found in Jesus. Verse 4. Paul says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Look at verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You see, Paul was in a conflict. He could understand people having a desire to grow, people having a desire to better themselves, people having a desire to advance and pursue dreams and have hopes. But he said, my concern is you're going to get caught up with people who are teaching the wrong pursuits. We got people running across this country that are teaching you that it's within you, that you, it's all you need is what's in you. It's a humanist view. And I'll tell you something, that when the Lord looked at Gideon, He called him a mighty man of valor, even though he was hiding behind the threshing floor. And so what God was saying is, Gideon, yes, there is in you all that you need if you'll let me draw it out. But without Him, we could do nothing. We need Jesus. What would be the value of succeeding in this life, of achieving all of our dreams and all of our pursuits, and taking that final breath and going to hell? What would be the point? You understand how long forever is? And Paul said, my challenge, my conflict is getting you to understand that there's only one way. Lest somebody else comes along with enticing words. Lest somebody else comes along with more exciting things. Verse 5, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, the steadfastness of your faith, As ye have therefore received Christ, verse 6, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I was saying in Sunday school this morning, you know, some people never get the value of church because they're not steadfast, because they're not in the order of Christ. They come to church when they feel like it. They come to church 5 or 6 times a year, and they think that ought to be enough. Well, do you understand? Your presence here is for you. Do we understand that? It's for you. I appreciate your friendship and I love you, but I hope you didn't come today for my sake. I was watching a documentary last night, maybe you caught it, about some woman in Australia and ended up in New York and she started a cult. Well, you want to know how you can identify a cult? It's all about me. And let me tell you something. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm not pointing you to me, I'm pointing you to Jesus. And when you get the idea that I'm the one to worship, you've mixed up. You're not here for me. You're here for you. You're here so that you can hear the Word of God. You're here so that you can hear the preaching and maybe gain some understanding. We're here to worship. We're here to serve God. But we're here so that we can benefit, so that we can grow. That's why we go to church. Because if we lose the regularity and the routine of church, we're going to backslide. You know, people can even backslide coming to church. People can even lose interest even though they show up to every service. Their heart's cold, they're indifferent, they're callous. You know it can happen. You know it can even happen. Preachers can even backslide and keep right on preaching. Like that one we talked about last Sunday. Hadn't got 8 complaints yet, so he's still trying, right? And keep preaching. But prayer life and fire and passion, it's fading away. So don't sit in church and think you've done enough today. Let me ask you a question. Is there a true evaluation going on? Are we really where God wants us to be? Are we really growing? Do you, really, this is the measure of it for me this morning. Is there somebody you know and you want them to have what you got? So much that you wish you could take it out and give it to them? Or is your faith not that valuable? What would happen if you took out your faith and gave it to me? Or you took out your faith and gave it to the person sitting next to you? Would they be better off or would they be worse off? I mean, I'm not talking about their faithfulness to church. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about whether or not they sung during the song service. That's not the issue. I mean, and their closeness and their belonging to God, that they are sure that God has their salvation wrapped up, that God loves them and gives them perfect peace. Is that where you are? He says in verse number 7, walk in Him rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let me ask you about your salvation, about your faith, about your walk with God. Are you thankful for it, or is it getting in the way? You ever met a Christian that it seemed like the church and the Lord were just dragging them down? How can that be? God is the energy. He is the essence of Christianity. And if you don't have Jesus in you, then you won't care a thing about church or a thing about Christianity. And so if you sit here this morning and you say, well, I really don't care, then I'd start doing a checkup. And I'd pray right now from my heart and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I trust Jesus as my Savior and I give my life to You. I surrender everything to You. God, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your love. Take control of my life. And straighten me out. Rooted up. Rooted, built up, established, and abounding with thanksgiving. He says, as you've been taught. Have you been taught? You know, there's people who go to church and they don't want to hear, they don't want to be taught anything. You already came in here believing what you believe, and you weren't going to be changed, and you weren't going to be persuaded about anything else because you're already set. Well, I'm going to tell you something. No matter how old you get, you still need to be willing to grow. You still need to be willing to learn. Make sure that what you're learning is true, but be willing to learn. Real quick, verse 10. Somebody read verse 10 to me. Just read the first phrase.
You are complete in Him.
Say it again.
And you are complete in Him.
I'm not, y'all ever see those preachers on church that run up and down the stage and shout? I'm doing that right now in my head, but I'm not going to do it in front of y'all. Woo! You're complete in Him. How many of you want to be all that you can be? Don't you know that's what complete means? Everything. That means you got everything you can get. Have y'all ever seen those money? I don't know what they call them. You get inside of a phone booth, what it looks like, and they blow money around you and you try to grab the money. Y'all ever seen those on TV? They have them at the kids, at the schools sometimes. The kids get in there and try to grab all the money. Now, let me ask you what the goal is when you get in that phone booth and they start blowing the money around. Get all you can get, right? Somebody said, get it all. You know what I want? I want all I can get out of this life. When they lay me down, I don't want to have anything left on the table. I want to have used it all up. That's what life's about. Some of us are just holding back, pacing ourselves. Don't pace yourself. Give it all you got. Because you only want to get one chance at it. And understand something. No matter what you can do with you, you're not complete outside of Him. You are complete in Him. You know what? That's complete love. That's complete peace. That's complete hope. That's complete forgiveness. That's complete. The essence of life. You are complete in Him. Verse 11 says, in whom you're also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off the body of sins. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. In other words, put off sin. Is it bad for you? Get rid of it. It's not hard, is it? How many of you throw food away when it gets bad? Can we not do that with bad habits? Can we not do that with bad ideas? Can we not do that with bad dreams and plans? You get to a point and you say, you know what? This turned out to not be a good idea. Then back out and go and leave it away. Throw it away. Don't take it with you just because you've already got something invested in it. You ever seen that happen? Well, I've already got so much invested. Yeah, but all you're going to do is waste more. It's not an investment if it's not working out. And you have to put that in perspective. But you understand what I'm saying. Look at verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. It's somebody was telling me, I think it was this week, might have been last week, but said, when we read that, it made everything clear. When they understood that all the past, all the sin, all the bad things that had happened to them could be buried in the waters of baptism. We ask Jesus to save us, to forgive us. And then we take that old dead man and we bury him in the waters of baptism. And the Bible says we're risen in newness of life to walk in Him. I don't know about you, but there were some things in my past I wanted buried. I wanted them written off. Not to be resurrected. And so I was buried with Him in baptism. We've got to learn to bury our past. Verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Somebody read that last phrase again. Forgiven you. How many of you have a Bible in front of you right now? I want you to look at it and I want you to tell me, does it say forgiven you most your trespasses?
Just all.
Does it say forgiven you some your trespasses?
All.
Does it say forgiven you all but the really bad ones? Y'all know that thing about running and shouting again? I'm doing it again. Doesn't it feel good? Somebody was saying the other day, God was punishing them. Oh, God's getting me. God's punishing me. You know, I checked on it. And the Lord said, there are no sins on your account to be punished for. Woo!
Amen.
Could you tell me, how could you punish me for something I haven't done? And you say, but Brother Derek, you did it. I know, but there's no evidence. It's all been wiped clean. It's not that I never did it. It's just as if I'd never done it. Justified. Never done it. I wish I could give you. I've got a conflict. I wish I could give you the sense of peace that I have, knowing all my sins are washed away. I wish I could give you the hope I've got, knowing that no matter what today or tomorrow brings, I know that when I take my final breath here, I'm going to take a deep, fresh breath of heaven. I wish I could take it out of me and give it to you so you could understand the love that I know He has for me. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've thought of people and I said, y'all ever done this when you were little, maybe, let's just say, hopefully not in your current situation. You looked at your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband and you said, I wonder if he really loves me. I wish you could understand I never wonder that about Jesus. I never do. I never wonder if God loves me. And I wish I could give you that. If you're here today and you're struggling and you're wondering and you don't know, let me tell you that God sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to die on that cross, the perfect Lamb of God, and He'll forgive all your trespasses if you'll put your faith in Him. Would you right now pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I give my life to You. And I ask You to forgive me. And take my life and use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name. I wish you could have a sense of the peace that passes understanding. It only comes in Him. We are complete. Ye are complete in Him. Would you stand this morning?